Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship.
Here's Garoppolo, going to fake and boot left. He has Richie James Jr. there. Going to throw a deep shot. Wide open, George Kittle. 20, 10, 5. He is back. Touchdown, San Francisco.
My goodness, what a play design. How good does that feel? Feels great, baby, George Kittle.
Oh my, we've been running that since like week one, and I have to run it like two or three times a week. That's like a 50-yard route every single time, so it's pretty, I'm just like, hey Kyle, like, relax, like I'm a tight end. And we finally got a call and run it, so that was pretty fun. But yeah, I mean, it's just corner post, it's perfect coverage you're running against. Jimmy gave me a perfect ball, and I had to unhitch the trailer to outrun a couple guys.
Coming up, we'll talk about the 49ers Sunday night 37-8 victory over the Green Bay Packers, putting the 49ers at 10-1 on the season. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Steve, it's still hard for me to believe that the 49ers are 10-1. They are making believers, though, of people, especially after this win against the Packers. Because, yeah, I mean, you could talk about the schedule a little bit early on, but now the 49ers win a legitimate game on national TV. They really dominate Aaron Rodgers when you think about it. And a lot of times you think about, yeah, I'd like to get off to a good start as a team, as a head coach. It'd be great. But you don't really expect to have a turnover on a fumble sack and then score a touchdown within the first 2 minutes of the game. But that really helped.
Yeah, it really helped. And, you know, the Niners win the toss and they defer. And I'm standing there on the sideline going, really? We're going to give the ball to Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly.
Well, obviously Kyle knew something we didn't know. that his defense was just going to go off. and especially those front four were going to go off.
Yeah. Man.
You know, and you get after Aaron, you get the fumble, you know, you got first and goal at the three going in, like, okay, I guess he knew something I didn't know. boy, and it all seemed to, you know, looking back on it, they get the ball. They give the ball to Rodgers. I don't know, they run the ball on first down, get nothing. They throw the ball to Devontae on that little bubble screen out toward the 49er sideline, and he, you know, gets the first down. And I'm like, oh, boy. And then they, which was, having watched it on the replay, that was a really ticky-tacky.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think he deserved that unsportsmanlike. Yeah.
That was bad. And it just, point being that it went downhill from there for the rest of the game for the Packers.
Yeah. That was a big penalty, though, because it went all the way back.
It was a huge penalty.
Yeah.
It was a huge penalty. You know, unsportsmanlike conduct, play gets called back. I mean, that's a 25-yard differential.
You know Devontae too, right? Because he went to Palo Alto High School, and that's where your son went. And you've done some coaching there. How well do you know him?
Yeah, I know him well. He was Kristoff's receiver, and I mean, he and Kristoff have been, you know, played, gosh, from probably the age of 8 or 9, you know, all the way through high school. Playing basketball. I guess mostly basketball. I don't think they were ever on a Pop Warner team together. You know, and then Devontae was kind of going to, he was kind of going the way of basketball after he had broken his arm really bad, his upper arm. I think the first time was in Pop Warner, and then he broke it again playing basketball like freshman or sophomore year. Okay. And then kind of decided after that, it must have been sophomore year, because then he kind of decided, well, I'm going to go play football again.
good decision.
Because he didn't play freshman, sophomore year. He just played junior, senior year.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was always a spectacular athlete. I mean, can run, could jump, obviously can catch. And then, you know, going to Fresno State and having Derek Carr throw you the ball for 4 years, 3 years. You know, he became, really learned to become a good receiver, running routes and catching the ball.
Yeah, and he had a decent game, but Aaron Rodgers did not. I mean, you think about what the defense did to him. He only had 104 yards, and he got sacked 5 times, which is pretty unusual. I mean, usually Rodgers can get around the defense and the pass rush, but one of the things that I thought Chris Collinsworth did a great job of pointing out is the way the 49ers are rushing the quarterback. They're not getting too far around, and you've talked about it, where a quarterback can step up in the pocket, but for Rodgers, when he tried to step up, the defensive ends, they're not past him. They're taking an angle towards him where he can't do that.
Yeah. I would agree with that, you know, that the tackles are getting good push up the middle, and the Bosa and, you know, whoever else was on the other edge, Bosa especially, he literally ran over both tackles. He just completely, you know, pancaked both tackles at one point in the game to get to Rodgers. And, you know, what makes it easier on defense, harder on offense, is that you can get home with four guys. I mean, those four guys, whoever they are, in the combination of, you know, seven, getting to Rodgers is making life for everybody else behind them relatively easy. You know, if you can get home with four guys and play cover two behind it, it's a much better day than you know, trying to bring five and play man free, or trying to bring six and play zero coverage, where, you know, if you have an Aaron Rodgers like quarterback, you start blitzing him, and he knows how to find the open guy, and quickly. So playing cover two and getting home with four guys is boy, as a defensive coordinator's ideal day.
Speaking of the defensive coordinator, yeah, Robert Saleh, he's getting a lot of credit, and with good reason. I mean, the way this defense is put together, yeah, the personnel, like you said, you have better defensive linemen now, but the defensive backs are all having a good year. I mean, Jimmy Ward was everywhere. He is showing why Kyle Shanahan had faith in him, I think. And you got Witherspoon back. Mosley has been a big surprise. He's played well. Kaywan Williams. I mean, all, you know, Sherman is still Chukwoski Tart. Yeah. And Sherman is still good, even though he's older and he's a leader. And I mean, he hasn't lost too much, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. And his leadership is adding to his physical talents. You know, his leadership is greater than his talents, and therefore making him a very valuable asset.
We'll continue the conversation with Steve right after this from TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans, if you've played at TPC Harding Park, you know that TPC courses are awesome, and there's a great opportunity for you if you're headed to the 49ers-Saints game in New Orleans on Sunday, December the 8th. It's the Golf the Gridiron Special. You get a round of golf at TPC Louisiana that weekend. It includes a TPC Louisiana cap, $30 on your TPC Louisiana gift card, 50% off golf club rentals, all for $179 plus tax per package. Check it out. Go to tpc.com/Louisiana/San Francisco Special to learn more about the Golf the Gridiron Special in Louisiana. Let's go to the offense. I thought after the lead was cut to 23-8, you still think, okay, Aaron Rodgers has a shot there. But in the third quarter, when the 49ers on first down, they use Kittle sort of as a decoy underneath, and they run a play action where they roll left and then they throw right to Kittle. You know, it just it gets opened up there, and he ends up with a 61-yard touchdown. I mean, that was just awesome. Awesome play calling and execution.
It was. And, you know, I you have to give Kyle credit, Kyle Shanahan, that is, that even in my mind, I'm sitting there watching, like, okay, they scored, but there's maybe 11 minutes, and I'm thinking – I think it was 11 minutes. Anyway, thinking, okay, here, you know, it's 4-minute football with 11 minutes to go. And what does Kyle do? First play, comes out and runs a play action pass, runs a bootleg to the right, which I thought was interestingly designed, where Juszczyk would normally be the guy in the flat, and you're going to throw him the ball. Well, he goes like he's going to be the guy in the flat, and then he blocks on the edge, gives Jimmy G a little bit more time, and they, you know, they find the mid-level guy. And I
was that the Bourne?
It was Bourne, exactly.
Yeah.
It was Kendrick. Very good. Yep. So Kendrick is coming. I don't know if he was coming from the other side or if he was coming from the right side, started in the left, and then came back out. But however his route ran. But you get, okay, so you get a first down, and the very next play, then you run the another bootleg going left, pull Jimmy G up, and boy, if you saw it on television, so you saw the replay, and you see the safety bite on the shallow crosser going from right to left, and then Kittle just turns the left free safety around, and you know. Good night.
Yeah, exactly.
Good night, wide Irene.
Wide open. I mean, those are the easier ones, as far as I would think, for a quarterback to make the throw. But Jimmy G's making a lot of quick release throws. And I know Collinsworth was talking about that. What do you think about that? Just the way he gets rid of it. How much of an asset is that for Jimmy G?
Oh, it's a huge asset. I mean, he can get rid of it quick, and two, he has – a very strong arm, and he was very accurate on Sunday. He didn't have his kind of one forced interception.
No, he didn't have that, right?
which was good. And in my duties in the beginning of the game, somebody, one of the first boxes I was in, and the guy's like, you know what, I wish Jimmy G would just throw that forced interception, like, you know, early in the game, so we know we got it over with. But he didn't throw any, which was great. Everybody protected the ball, you know, no turnovers. And really Green Bay only had one, but obviously it was a huge one.
Yeah.
No, but Jimmy's, I thought he played well. You know, just kind of managed the whole, I know, you know, people hate that. I don't talk about managing, but that's part of it. He managed the game well. And, there weren't really, you know, any real situations where the clock needed to be managed or really just decisions, like tough, you know, fourth and one type decisions needed to be made that I remember. We actually weren't very good on third down, but we didn't have to be, because they were making 8 yards a play Green Bay was awful, if I remember correctly. They were like 2 for 18 on third and fourth down. So credit to our defense. Although Aaron was he was off, period, in his throws. Just some that he just didn't have anything on it. You know, some of those quick release, you know, hard to defend throws. He just wasn't on his game.
Yeah,
but Jimmy G was
right. Yeah, Jimmy G didn't have to throw the ball all that much, but he was efficient. I mean, you think about he almost had a perfect rating in this game, 145.8. We don't usually talk about rating unless it's perfect or close to it, and he was close to that. I mean, you know, he didn't have that interception, like you said, and I was noticing there was a good graphic on NBC about play action. I really, you know, some of the stats get to be too much, but I really like this one about Jimmy G being at one point, I don't know if he finished the game this way, but he was 6 for 6 in play action. That's a perfect rating he had at that point.
Yeah.
And I love that because that play seems to be so important for the Niners.
Yeah, it is. You know, it just play action obviously helps open routes up. I think actually, let me back up a second. The most important thing that it does is it keeps a quarterback in rhythm, in throwing rhythm, in his drop, in his footwork to deliver the ball. The second thing is it helps open routes, and it doesn't have to be deep ball routes either, you know, intermediate routes where you get a linebacker to freeze for a split second and it makes the window that much more open for a throw. And then you know, the way that, and I'm pretty sure Kyle terms them the way we termed or called them in the West Coast offense. You know, play action passes were more intermediate, like I said, where you're trying to get a linebacker to freeze and open a window a little bit more. And then fakes, which is more of what Jimmy G threw on the touchdown or threw on the play before, where it's where the offensive line, everybody's running the running play, but the quarterback's got the ball and there's, you know, a couple of receivers running routes and you're trying to get a safety to bite and you're looking for a big play. And that was the Kittle play that, put the Packers away.
Yeah. A lot of their big plays are coming too on yards after catch. They put up another graphic about NBC about the yards after catch being over 10 per catch, and the average was 6.5 coming in. And, you know, that's something you love to see. I mean, Kittle, of course, he's going to stiff arm people and get extra yardage. And how about Deebo Samuel on that touchdown that he had the end of the second quarter when he just took off? I mean, that looked like a simple route, sort of a crossing route, and he's just gone. Yeah. It reminds me of, because Jerry Rice, and we don't have Jerry Rice here anymore, but Jerry Rice was known for that. He kind of made that stat, something that people talked about, yards after catch.
Right. You're right. Catch that slant or catch that in route and not so much reverse field, but go against the grain.
Right.
Deebo, that was really good. As you're asking the question, mentioning it, harkens me back to our conversations early in the season. Who's going to be the one that of the receiver core, who's going to be the one that steps up? And I think we know that. Well, one, we traded for somebody in Sanders.
Oh yeah.
Two, I would say Deebo and Kendrick.
And Kendrick's, he's not dropping balls. Nobody was dropping balls. That was the problem in the Seattle game.
There were no drops.
No, these guys were catching the ball, and that's important.
Yeah. And we're also seeing a couple guys fall off fall back in that receiver core. Obviously, we've talked about Pettis, and I think it's happening with Goodwin.
Yeah,
well.
Goodwin was not active. Yeah,
he was. He's basically. I think he was a healthy scratch.
Healthy scratch. He was. You're right.
Yeah, which is not a good sign for him. But I think we see how this is how this has played out now.
Yeah, and you know, Kyle Shanahan is not afraid to make those tough calls because, you know, that might be a tough call. You're talking about a veteran guy. Or even in the middle of the game, using Brunskill as an offensive lineman instead of School because he felt like School wasn't playing well on the O-line, so he made the change. I mean, he's not just going to sit back. He's going to make changes that he has to make.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And nice to have the depth that we talked a lot about in the beginning of the season that I thought was going to be a key to this season. Now, and if you would ask me if I would have bet on them being 10-1 at this point, I would have not taken that bet. I'm really happy they are, and they've been really fun to watch.
Speaking of depth, got to get into the running back situation. I mean, Matt Breida is out, and he's my favorite guy. He's out, yet they still had a really good running attack, over 100 yards. They've got several different running backs that they could go to. I mean, Mostert had a really good game for only having 6 rushes. He had 45 yards. He's averaging 7.5 per carry. He had that touchdown when he went up the middle. Yeah. Coleman has been steady. Even Jeff Wilson, he's been a good contributor when they give him the ball.
Had a couple. Jeff Wilson had a one big run that I can think of, and actually may have had a second. Now that I think back on it, they're all running well. And yes, we could use Breida's speed, but I think we talked about it last week. If not, I've mentioned it to other people, and that is I thought the key. To the running game because we did struggle a little bit. We have struggled a little bit within the last couple weeks before Sunday. And to me, that key was Kittle.
The way he's blocking. He's back in there.
Just the way, just his energy and the disruption that he creates and his blocking skills. And I don't mean to list his blocking skills third because they're probably should be number one, but it's just his whole, you know, being, and his and what he brings, along with having Juszczyk, obviously, and the offensive line playing well, has opened holes and it's been, it was fun to see it, see them run like that on Sunday. And, I would say most fun for me to see Mostert. I've gotten to know him a little bit. I think it's cool that he's, you know, was kind of always a special teams guy. Not that he still isn't. He is a terrific special teams player. But, man, to see him get some opportunities to do what he's done with the football out of the backfield, I was happy for him on that run on Sunday night.
And he had a nice catch, too. There was that one in the fourth quarter. And I really love the touchdown celebration because maybe not a lot of people know that he's a surfer. He's a really good surfer. Like, he's been in competitions. And they
oh,
got,
is he really?
That's what I heard. I read some story about that he was a really good surfer. I have to go back, and I think I saw a story about that. But they're in the end zone acting like they're swimming in the ocean. And that's what that was all about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I'm glad the NFL has allowed that. I'm going on a tangent for a second, but I'm wondering how much longer they're going to allow the kind of defensive mugging after an interception in the far end, you know, in their end zone.
Right.
You know, I guess it doesn't necessarily take away from the time or doesn't add time to the game, but I was thinking about this last night watching Baltimore. You know, they had that pick six at the end, and or it wasn't a pick six; they had an interception. Excuse me, And, you know, they all were, the whole defense was down there mugging in the end zone, posing. You know, do they, I don't know.
Well, I think the NFL is definitely...
That one seems like the NFL would get in the way of, but then,
they've been more lenient, there's no doubt. What about Haskins on the Redskins? You see that? He was taking a selfie, and he missed the last play of the game, the kneel down.
I heard that. I didn't see it.
Unbelievable.
That would not go over too well.
No. By the way, since we're talking about depth of running backs, I started to think about it. And, yeah, the 49ers in their history have had great running backs. You know, you think about more recently Frank Gore, and you think about Roger Craig and those days and everything. But I don't know about having this kind of depth at running back. That's what's really been cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of Roger Craig, Rathman was his fullback. Remember Dexter Carter was kind of good, like, as a guy, but...
I mean, we had Roger, we had Ricky Waters,
yeah, Ricky Waters is really good.
We had Terrence Flagler, we had
Wendell Tyler. Wendell Tyler's another guy from the past.
Yeah. Wendell was there kind of in the beginning of Roger's career.
Right.
We had some good running backs, obviously none nearly as good as in my time as Roger. Ricky, I would say, you know, Ricky became Ricky here in the beginning, but then, you know, elsewhere, in Philly. They've got some good running backs. I mean, obviously, Tevin Coleman, you know, he Kyle knew him from Atlanta, had some good years there. And I think Raheem is, you know, I think he's been on seven teams. He was on seven teams in 7 years at one point. I'm not sure really got much time at running back. Got pressed into service here last year, unfortunately gets hurt quickly, but showed that he could do it. That's a good question. I think we've got several guys with some experience and are the benefactors of an offensive line that's playing pretty well and a scheme that works well for them.
And, you know, another thing that the 49ers have been lucky with, actually, is when Robbie Gould went down, you bring in Chase McLaughlin. And, yeah, he missed that one field goal, the bad miss in overtime against Seattle. But other than that, I mean, he's been pretty solid.
Done well.
Yeah.
So it's been very solid. And, and we talked about that one in Seattle. I think he just tried to hit it too hard and he's obviously got plenty of leg because he's kicked some good field goals and some lengthy ones. And no, he's been great.
All right. So now the big matchup, and you know, there's several of these now where you look at it and you go, wow, this could be the game of the year. I mean, we just had one on Sunday. We had the Seahawks. Now you go to Baltimore and play a Ravens team that's coming off a 45-6 win over the Rams that you referenced. Lamar Jackson is really, I mean, he's up there for MVP along with Russell Wilson, I think. High five touchdowns. He ran for 95 on Monday night. He's showing everybody what he can do. They've won seven in a row. Now they're home against the Niners. What an incredible matchup this is going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. It'll be a really good one. I think it'll be interesting to see how, you know, what the defensive scheme is. My initial thought would be very similar to Sunday against the Packers. I get a totally different type quarterback, but I think that if you can put that kind of pressure on the quarterback, running game wise and passing game wise, and play cover two behind it, you have a lot more people with eyes on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, a cover two is not necessarily a run defense. You know, maybe it's, maybe it becomes more cover three, which is probably what it will be. And you can put, you know, you can put a safety down closer to the box and have eight guys playing the run, as opposed to really just seven guys. So it'll be interesting to see. But if, but the key to me is that, that they can put the pressure on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense with just four guys up front.
Yeah, not going to be easy.
Yeah. You know, offensively for the Niners, I wouldn't expect to see anything drastic at, you know, at all. I mean, it'll be, you know, running game first, play action pass, and drop back third. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's obviously the key is, can you contain Lamar Jackson?
Well, people are saying that he reminds them of Michael Vick and maybe a young Vince Young, you know, before he became an NFL quarterback. Who does he remind you of, or is there a comparison? I mean, to, you know, see what he's doing.
No, I would say, I think the Michael Vick is a great comparison. I mean, just because his speed is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, he just, he's so quick. So,
and he seems to have picked up, you know, being able to throw from the pocket quicker than some of the other running quarterbacks. What do you think? I mean, a lot of times it takes a quarterback a while to be able to do that, but he's doing it pretty quickly, pretty early in his career.
Yeah. He does seem very comfortable with that. And I mean, it's not that he wasn't if I remember correctly, coming out of Louisville, I mean, he was throwing the ball from the pocket a lot. If I remember correctly, I could be wrong, but, he seems very comfortable in there and obviously very, very comfortable with Greg Roman's offense. And from what I can tell, Greg's done a great job of, you know, designing an offense around Lamar's skills.
And it's an early game. I mean, you know, we always talk about that, how difficult it is. You know, for us, it, you know, just you watch it for breakfast or whatever, for Bay Area people.
Right.
But for,
right.
for players.
10 a.m. game.
Yeah, your body clock is a little off. I mean, look, the Raiders, they didn't deal with that very well this past Sunday in New York against the Jets. You got to hope that the 49ers are ready for this. I mean, they handled it well when they went to Washington, but this is the Ravens, not the Redskins.
Yeah, no, not the Redskins. No, they'll have to be ready. You know, I will say if there is a game that we could lose in the next five, this really is it. I mean, in my mind, we need to win. We need to beat New Orleans in New Orleans, and we need to beat Seattle at Seattle. To me, that's, you know, those are
big games.
Those are more important, but it would be awesome to see them go back there and beat the Ravens and move on to the next one. And wow. It's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, can't wait to see how it plays out. It'll be a great game on Sunday for sure, and look forward to talking to you about it next week, Steve.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week. As we talked about, we will be discussing the 49ers game in Baltimore against the Ravens. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.